never forget why you are the church. If you're happy in the Lord, say amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm happy in the Lord. That's what I'm talking about. Now turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. It is kind of a funny thing. I was talking to one of my brothers in Christ this week, and I had sent him a picture. He was wanting to go and spend some time, and I told him I couldn't, and I kind of sent him a picture of how I was kind of nailed down to where I was, and in that picture was my computer, and with the PowerPoint on it. We got the PowerPoint, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. So it had the PowerPoint on it, and it had Romans 1, 8 through 15. And his comment was, man, we're going to make some progress this Sunday morning. I said, man, that's the perceived plan. Well, let me just tell you something. We'll be in Romans 1, and we'll see how far we get. Amen. But Romans, we see that Paul knew who he was in Christ and what he was to do for Christ. Verse 1 offers all the details that we need on this perspective. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. What an opening to a book, right? Paul is boldly saying he is a slave to Christ. He has a calling on his life by Christ, and he is separated unto the gospel of Christ. That is a bold statement to make. You say, well, what makes him so bold in that? What makes him so courageous to be able to proclaim that? Well, because it was true. Understand that it was true for Paul, and it's true for us as well. Can you say the same? If you are a believer, you are a servant, that is a slave to Christ. God has called you to serve him and others, and you have been separated, that is set apart unto the gospel. By the way, those are non-negotiables. You understand that? See, we live in a society that wants to get rid of non-negotiables. If there's anything that we want to negotiate, society wants to negotiate the truth. Let me explain something to you. The truth is the truth. If you are born again, praise God, that cannot change. Therefore, who you are cannot change, and what you have been called to do will not change. It may look different throughout your life, but you are called to serve God. Amen? Amen. Amen. But again, we are different, right? God has never, ever, not one time, called someone to be the same as they were. He has never, not one time, saved someone to act the same as they used to. Now, I'm not trying to say that if you had something that you like to say, like, for example, I've said bro before and after Christ, amen? That's just going to happen. Hey, Kenny, bro, turn up the piano. But what I'm trying to say is the sin that once held me in bondage no longer holds me in bondage. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? We are different. When you become saved, that means you are born again. Why would Jesus tell Nicodemus, you must be born again in John 3, if God's intent was for you to stay the same as you are? It just doesn't make sense. Wake up. If you're born again, that means you have been made a new creation. That's why it's so important to know your role. How was it that Paul could confidently declare verse 1? That's a good question. Well, if you see throughout, we won't read for time's sake, but if you see verses 2 through 7, he had the authority of the gospel behind him. Understand that God's plan all along before the foundations of the earth was to send his son Jesus to save sinners from their sin. Do you realize that? It was through the gospel of Jesus Christ that Paul received grace and his apostleship, and it is through that same gospel that we have been called, as verse 7 says, to be saints. Paul now moves on in his greeting, and Paul made a practice of beginning his letters with a word of thanks to God, and usually followed by a prayer and then a specific message to the recipients. And Paul's message to the saints in Rome was one of rejoicing. Their faith, their obedience, their work was well known amongst the entire world. And we're going to look at this right here in verse 8 through 15. If you're there, say read. First, everyone say first. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Isn't that a beautiful thing he's saying here? Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. If you want a title, you can have one. How are you known? How are you known? Now, if you've already written that down, that's great, that's fine, that's good. But I want you, if you are taking notes, to be more personal. I want you to write down, how am I known? In your notes, that's a question that you have to answer, that I have to answer for myself. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for the people that are here, God. Lord, I thank you for the churches that are gathering, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, God-fearing, Jesus-loving churches that are gathering all over the world right now, Lord. God, I pray that they have prosperous services, God, not in the way of money or this and what we think is prosper, but Lord, I pray that we see a harvest today on this Lord's Day. God, I pray we can celebrate not just what happens here, but you're working all over the place. God, I pray for those churches that might be gathering, that can't gather as freely as we are today, but have to gather in secret to save their life. God, I pray, Lord, that we have a faith like that today here at Cedar Grove. God, I pray we get rid of our comfort, Lord, when it hinders us. And God, I pray that we become more faithful as time goes by. We thank you. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul here shows us how fellow Christians are to associate and treat each other. I want to warn you real quick. This is going to be an extremely practical message this morning. Extremely practical. In other words, this is something that we can apply immediately. Don't you like that? You say, well, isn't that always? Yes. But I just want to remind you this morning, this is something that we can apply immediately. Listen, I want you to know that I love studying. Me and Nick, we've already talked about some deep topics in God's word, and man, he loves going deep, and I love going deep, and man, it's a great time, and all the good stuff, and I have brothers and sisters in Christ that we have many and frequent conversations about the deep principles in his word and all the good stuff. But can I tell you something? Sometimes when I study, it's just right there. I don't have to dig too deep. Now, I do to make sure we're on the right page, but I'm telling you, sometimes God makes it so simple that you have to just be like, I'm just not going to do that. And today I pray that that is not what we do. Amen. But first, everyone say first again. First. He gave thanks for them. How do we associate with each other? How are we to encounter each other? How are we to treat each other? The Bible says right here, Paul says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. He first gave thanks for the saints. We live in a church culture of gossip, backbiting, lying, envy. This person doesn't like that person. These people don't get along. I don't agree with this or that. You do understand what I do as a side job, don't you? I sub in middle schools. Can I tell you, sometimes I go to a middle school class, a 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th grade class, and there's less drama than in a church full of adults. That is sad. You understand what I'm saying? Even a middle schooler can say, you know what? I may not like everything you do. We may disagree, but we're here and we have to be here. And you know what? And I remind them all the time, it's good that you're here because you're getting an education. Therefore, we better just kind of, you know, make the best of it, right? Well, let me just tell you something. We better take it a step further in the church. Let's just not make the best of being together. Let's give thanks for being together here today. Amen. First, he gave thanks. That's good stuff right there. Listen, can I tell you something? You start giving thanks to the person beside you, you might stop complaining about them. in my marriage, I don't know about in your marriage. Maybe not. Maybe it's just at 1714 West Lilac. I'm not sure. But there's times to where I get a complaining spirit, right? We were packing last night. And listen, Heather, I'm telling you right now, by the way, hey, you know, make sure you appreciate her, okay? This is her month, right, you know? Pastor, as a matter of fact, give a warm welcome to Heather. How you doing, girl? She's going to be complaining about me now. But all I'm trying to say is last night, I was kind of hoping that she was in the nursery or something, but she's over there. But last night, we were getting packing and stuff. And, you know, I've gotten a lot of LHS, you know, gear. You know what I'm saying? I like it. You know what I'm saying? I like to look the part, you know, all the stuff, have the caps and everything. And, man, there was one jacket, you know, that only the coaches have and everything. So I was like, man, I got to bring it. I got to look good at the games. You know, it has to happen. And acting like you don't care. If you don't, come on with it. Just bear with me, okay? So I was sitting there, and I took it out, and, man, it was so stinking wrinkled. And I was like, I said, Heather, I cannot wear that in public. And she goes, why? I said, it is so wrinkled. She said, is it clean? I'm like, yes, but it is so wrinkled. And I'm sitting there, and she, of course, you know how wives do. She's like, just don't even talk to me right now. Just don't even talk to me right now. So I took a step back, you know, because you don't want to poke the bear too much. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, and I was thinking about that, not last night, right? I wasn't mature enough in that moment to think about it last night. But this morning, as I was going through my notes, God hit me right in the face. Can I tell you something? I don't do laundry. I don't have to worry about that. I don't know what your roles are in your home, okay? But what I'm trying to say is this. I have a wife that takes care of me. I have a wife that does things for me. I have a wife that is an amazing, wonderful mother to my two girls. I have all these blessings. But in that moment, you know what I did? I was having a complaining spirit, and it took my gratitude for what God has gifted me. Some of you husbands are like, yeah. So when are we going to apply? What were you talking about applying? You know, yeah. Hey, you can apply that right there, amen. Listen, when we stop giving thanks, that's when we start getting complaining and murmuring. Paul shows us how to fix this. He thanked God for the saints, the beloved of God. The power of a thankful heart is underestimated today. You know why it's underestimated? It's because we live in a society. We live in a culture that is not content with what they have. So instead of giving thanks for what they do have, they keep on looking at what they don't have. Therefore, they get envious. They get covetousness. They get bitter. They get all these things except for thankful, and they're miserable in it. We ought to be grateful for each other. Not hateful, but grateful. I took a deep dive into this concept of gratitude. I took a class at Harvard, as a matter of fact, this week. Just kidding. I looked up an article from Harvard. Amen. Anyone know what Harvard is? Okay, some of you are like, Harvard? Where's Harvard? Is that a new restaurant here? No. Okay? All right? Harvard, let me see. I got some stats right here, or at least some study. Harvard Health Publishing, which is a branch of Harvard Medical School, did a survey, a study article on giving thanks. Okay? I'm going to read you some things out of this study. Okay? In positive psychology research, gratitude, that's giving thanks, that's being thankful. You hear me? Some of you miserable people need to listen up. Okay. Research, gratitude is strongly and consistently associated with greater happiness. Gratitude helps people feel more positive emotions, relish good experiences, improve their health, deal with adversity, and build strong relationships. That's cool. Let's see what else they did. One group wrote about things they were grateful for that had occurred during the week. A second group wrote about daily irritations or things that had displeased them. And the third wrote about events that had affected them with no emphasis on them being positive or negative. After 10 weeks of doing that, all three groups, those who wrote about gratitude were more optimistic and felt better about their lives. Surprisingly, they also exercised more, had fewer visits to the physicians than those who focused on sources of aggravations. Can all of us admit that sometimes, a lot of the times, most of the time, it's a lot easier for us to focus on sources of aggravation? Okay. Another leading researcher in this field, his name's Dr. Martin, whatever that last name is, a psychologist at the University of Pennsylvania, tested the impact of various positive psychology interventions on 411 people, each compared with a control assignment of writing about early memories. When their week's assignment was to write, write and personally deliver a letter of gratitude to someone who had never been properly thanked for his or her kindness, participants immediately exhibited a huge increase in happiness scores. The impact was greater than that from any other intervention, with benefits lasting for a month. I'm almost done. Most of the studies published on this topic support an association between gratitude and an individual's well-being. Other studies have looked at how being grateful can improve relationships. For example, a study of couples found that individuals who took their time to express gratitude for their partner not only felt more positive toward the other person, but also felt more comfortable expressing concerns about their relationship. Hey, you know what? Well, my spouse just doesn't talk to me because you're probably not thankful for him. And they feel that way as well. Managers. We say, man, no one wants to work these days. And that's probably true. But managers who remember to say thank you, right, to people who work for them may find that those employees feel motivated to work harder. This finding, all this put together, this is what it ended. This finding suggests that gratitude is an attainment associated with emotional maturity. Now, some of you thinking, I didn't go to college for a reason, Jacob. And that was the reason right there. Well, hear me. An immature believer will not be thankful. Hear me. Don't miss it. An immature believer will not be thankful. A church that struggles with working together and being unified has a problem with gratitude. If you could do it yourself, let me just tell you something. God would have allowed you to do it yourself, but he didn't. He gave you the church. But instead, he gave us, again, the family of God. Preacher, why would we take Harvard's opinion? Why in the world? And I understand what you're saying. According to the Harvard Crimson, which is a popular newspaper and magazine publisher, as of 2022, over 80% of Harvard's faculty identify as liberal or very liberal. And you say, well, what does that matter? This is not a political discussion, but what it does say is, why do I mention it? I am sure the article on gratitude was not done with a biblical focus in play. Amen? They weren't sitting down saying, okay, let's confirm what God has to say about this. But you know what's beautiful about God's word? Even when people that may not believe in God, don't care about the things of God, when they start studying the creation of God, they realize, hey, it just confirms the word of God. Woo! I couldn't say that again if I tried. But all I'm going to say is this. Listen, you say, what are you even talking about? Okay, well, God's will is for us to be thankful no matter what is going on, no matter what's happening. Don't believe me? Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says this in everything. Everyone say everything. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I want you to understand something. God's will for your life is what is best for your life. People have tried throughout the history of time, from the beginning. Why did Eve eat of the fruit? Because she saw that it was good and she believed the serpent that it would make her like God. Therefore, she said, well, I'm not content with what I have. I'm not content with what the best is. I want something different. And sin entered the world through Adam. And from that time, we have trusted in the plan of the enemy. And in that time, what we've seen is we've seen more misery, more suffering, more sin, more wickedness, more vileness throughout history. Don't tell me you don't know what God's will is for your life. You say, well, Jay, I don't know what he wants me to do. I can tell you where to start. Be thankful. Be thankful. That's step number one, right? Church was just down this morning. Church just had I can't stand this, and I'll be honest with you. I've said this so many times in my life. Well, church just had kind of a dead spirit this morning. First off, we serve a living, risen Savior. I don't understand how church can have a dead spirit. If that's the case, then there was no church. Because the reason why we are here, listen to me, the reason why we are here is to serve and to worship and to learn of the Savior, Jesus Christ, who is alive. Amen? Amen. But church was just down. There wasn't much movement. Well, what'd you do? Well, I sat and looked for movement. It just worship was kind of stale. The altar was empty. How could this be? Well, first off, we gotta realize church should be a celebration. Look at Psalm 104. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. When we are thankful to God and each other, we tend to come with the right heart. When we aren't, you know what we do? We tend to come with the wrong heart. studies show that anxiety is at an all-time high, right? Ever since COVID, right? Ever since the whole pandemic, ever since everyone had to stay home and all these things, studies are showing that people have anxiety issues that may not had anxiety issues before. Studies are showing that people are stressed out. People aren't really knowing how to manage. Listen, if you don't have anything else to pray for these kids that have endured that in their life, right? There's kids that literally still to this day don't know how to handle certain situations because they were at home. And you say, that's family time. Not for a lot of them. For a lot of them, family time might be dangerous. For a lot of them, family time might be abusive. For a lot of them, family time might be that all they hear is that you're a problem, you're a burden, you're good for nothing. I wish you would just go back to school. I wish we never had you. All these things. Listen, just because you had it good doesn't mean anyone else has it good. But all I'm trying to say is this. Listen, hey, anxiety is up. Everyone's freaking out. What is the solution for a believer? Look at Philippians 4:7. It says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus," right? If you look in that text, it talks about giving thanks. And when we do that, when we have a thankful heart, that is what happens. There's just too much drama and conflict at the church. I'm sorry. What happens when we do that? Well, look at Philippians. Well, I am all over the place. Do we have Philippians 4:6? Is that in there? No, everyone turn with me. Let's do a little project right here. Turn me Philippians chapter 4. Listen, y'all make the PowerPoint next time. I was wondering, I was like, hold on, how am I going to? All right. Oh, this makes a lot more sense. Amen. Everyone say, all right, I'm there. Say, I'm there. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says this: be careful for nothing. That means be anxious for nothing. But everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Then verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When we give thanks, listen. There was a study done. I don't have it quoted, but I didn't, and I wasn't able to have it printed out. But there was a study done that said that in your brain, it said that anxiety and gratitude could not exist at the same time. So, in other words, now I don't know how neurologically sound that is, but I can tell you it's pretty biblically sound. Amen. When you are grateful, it's very hard to be stressful. Well, there's just too much drama and conflict at the church. I just think there's just too much going on, preacher. I get to church and everyone's looking at me. And by the way, a lot of the times when you think that, it's not actually happening. That might be good old school conviction. Well, I'm not going to church. I haven't been there in like 2 years. If I go in there, they'll stare at me. Yeah, because we thought you died or something. I don't know why I stuttered like that just then. You're dead. I mean, golly. Ooh, Lord, help me this morning. But think about it. Listen, people say, well, I don't want to go in there. And most of the time, if not 10 out of 10, what that means is it's not a problem with who's around you at church. It's a problem with the Spirit of God convicting you of the sin in your life. That's simple as that. Well, what does Colossians 3:15 say? Well, let's look at it. There it is. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be thankful. Guys, we are not called into factions. We are not called into, well, there's that group, there's this group, there's that clique. We are called into one body. Do we do different things at church? Absolutely. Why? Because we're gifted differently. But all these gifts that we have, the purpose is to create one body of ministry for the Lord. And we ought to be thankful. What happens when a church gives thanks? There's peace and unity. Well, let's look at what else happens. In Colossians 3, the next two verses, it says this: let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in the word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. You know another area we need to be thankful for? In our worship. You hear me? Notice it said right there, and this is a whole other message, and I'm not going to try to get into it right here, but I am going to mention it. It says right here, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Can I tell you what not being thankful is? Well, that's not my favorite song. Well, by the way, it's probably not actually your favorite song, because if you got in your car and turned on the radio, we'd know what your actual favorite song was. You understand what I'm saying? Y'all need to listen to Christian music. Y'all are terrible. But seriously, listen. We sit back and we say, man, the music's just too loud. That's not my style. Well, if that's not a hymn, it's not biblical. If that's not this, or if that's not that, you know what you're doing in that? You are having a complaining spirit, and that complaining spirit is taking over the thankful spirit that we have. Whether what kind of style we're singing, whether how loud it is, whether how not loud it is, whatever it is. Listen, hey, we had something happen this morning. Ronnie had to get on the piano all of a sudden. He wasn't able to rehearse. He wasn't able to practice. But you know what he did? He had a thankful heart to God and said, I'm going to have my skills used for him this morning. He played, Jay sang, and we worshiped. Let's give thanks for that. That's all it is. As simple as that. And if we still don't get it, let me share one more truth. 2 Corinthians 4:15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Amen. The ministry of the gospel, the family of God, the power of the word, all these things are for our sake to glorify him. And with that mindset, more and more people will receive grace and salvation. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? Who would ever want to walk into a church with a bunch of people looking sour-faced? I mean, could you imagine? They walk in. Man, they're thinking, man, it's the Lord's day. I'm going to go into church, have a good time. It's going to be exciting. Man, I just need this in my life. I've had a bad week, or there's a tragedy going on. I'm just suffering. I need to go to church and get fed. I need to go to church and get recharged. And when they walk in, all they see is your sour, stinking face. We should have a slap rule. Listen, I said a joke about slapping somebody one time. By the way, I used to preach really a lot more crude than I do right now. And I'm not saying it's right. But I just did, and I said, man, some of y'all I just want to take you and just slap you across your face right there. And man, I'm telling you what, I had an old lady call me and say, preacher, I cannot believe that you would want to slap someone's precious face. And I said, if we weren't on the phone, I'm just kidding. But seriously, hey, they don't want to see that. They want to listen. If someone that is broken from the world's beating, they need to come in here and be lifted up. They need to see that, hey, guess what? I took a beating this week too. Them over there, they took a beating too. Hey, this person over here, hey, man, he's having one of the worst weeks of his life. But God is still good. Amen. And he is worthy of our thanks. Do you understand what we're saying here today? Church, is that not just the goal? Paul was thankful. He was grateful for the faith of his fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Something must have been going right, because evidently their faith was known throughout the whole world. Now, in the context of the book of Romans, if you look at it, the context of this was really meaning the Roman Empire. In that time, the whole world was, in their minds, the Roman Empire, right? So in other words, throughout the entire empire, their faith was known. In a pagan, heathen, idolatry-plagued empire, the largest up to that time, the saints were known by their faith. Not their gossiping, not their drama, not their condemnation, not their judgment, not their too good for you, not their I'm better than you mindset, but for their faith. Sometimes we read the epistles and we read the letters to the churches, we forget exactly the context, or we neglect to look into what was going on at that time. You think it's bad now? The Roman Empire was way more wicked than we are today. As a matter of fact, you say, well, they're letting anything do. They're letting whatever they want go on. Can I tell you something? They had temples literally built for public forms of worship that was included physical intimacy amongst people, no matter who it was. You say, oh, by the way, we're close to that in America. I just want you to know. But I'm not going to get into that. I'm just saying, hey, the Roman Empire was wicked. Yet, guess what? Their faith was known. Hallelujah. Can I tell you something? as the wickedness of this world increases, our being known for our faith ought to increase, because our faith becomes strengthened by the trials and tribulations around us. If things were always easy, if you never suffered, if you never were tried, and why even show faith? These people were known by their faith. People talked about them. They noticed the believers. They were indeed set apart from the rest. Church, what are we known for here at Cedar Grove? What are we known for as a church? Can I tell you something real quick? What we are known for as a church equates to what we are known for as individuals. How we treat people outside of this place is how people feel this church will treat people. How do you conduct business? How do you treat your servers at the restaurant? You know what's a sad thing? I don't know who told me, Kenny. I think it might have been you. But we evidently, and this is something that's been known, but man, it just hit me the other day whenever we talked about it. Restaurants absolutely dread the Sunday rush of churchgoers. You say, why? Man, don't they tip generously? Don't they share the gospel? Don't they pray for their server? Don't they give a smile even when their food might come out wrong or their food might come out cold, or they're so busy on Sunday, hey, you might not be the center of attention. So don't you understand that? Don't the believers act like they just left church? They just got fed. They just got trained. They just got challenged. Surely they're going to go and immediately apply it to lunch. Nope. You know why they dread it? Because it's the rudest, it's the pettiest, and it's the stingiest crowd of the week. What are we known for? Parents, how do your kids know you? I'm not asking how do your friends know you or how do your neighbors know you, although that matters too, but your kids really know you. How do your kids know you? Students, how do your friends know you? How do your coworkers know you? How does your fellow saint know you? Well, preacher, I don't care about what people think. I'm just going to be me. You know what's funny about that? I find most people say this when they desire to live in such a way that will turn people away. I don't care what you think, so if I offend you, if I'm mean to you, if I'm just bitter to you, you know what? Just get over it. Oh, they will. And in the meantime, they may be pushed away from the Lord. Amen. You know what a word that stood out? And man, I can't stand saying this in the pulpit because I know y'all petty, and y'all going to bring it up later. And that's okay. But I was reading 1 Timothy. And guys, I am not bent gentle. That's just not my personality. I'm boisterous, right? Like, I'm obnoxious. I'm kind of sometimes mean in a nice way. You know what I'm saying? Like you know, this whatever. I know y'all, whatever. But I was reading 1 Timothy, and man, I was digging into it. And I was making sure to really take in every single word. Because the office of an overseer, whoever desires that, they desire a great thing. And that's the office that I hold. So I'm sitting there, and I've read it 1,000 times in my life, but I'm reading it again and again. And man, you know what? I've read all the things that I'm supposed to be, but you know what kept on? I didn't know that it was in bold in my Bible. It was, you know, it's a newer Bible that I'm using to study around and stuff. But all of a sudden, that word gentle came to my mind. And I'm like, surely it doesn't mean, you know, gentle. Surely not. Well, guess what it means? Gentle. May God convict me of that. And I find that this, a lot of times we can be a certain way and we say, well, that's just how God created me. And what we're doing is we're actually justifying sin in our life and saying that it's God's fault. Let me just tell you something. That's a dangerous path to take. What are you known for? How do people know you? How do people see you? In Acts chapter 2, the church was different than the rest of the world. They fellowshiped, they obeyed, they worshiped, they served, they prayed, they gave together. They did all these things together. The Bible says they were of one accord with gladness and singleness of heart. How beautiful is that? They were glad to be together. They were happy to serve the Lord together. Hey man, there's a need. That's okay. We can cover it together. You say, well, what happened? Verse 47, the beginning says this. They said they were praising God and having favor with all the people. They were the crowd you wanted after Sunday. They were the crowd you wanted throughout the week. They were the ones you wanted to do business with. These people are the ones that you wanted to go to for counsel when your life starts to fall apart. Why? Because of the way they were, the way they were known, they were favored. They had favor with all the people. You say, what did that create? Look at verse 47, the rest of it. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. There was no programs. There was no conferences, although I love those things. All there was people who loved Jesus, who had been radically changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, born again into the family of God. And because they were thankful for their salvation, they were obedient to their Savior. Therefore, everyone saw it. And you know what they said? I want what they got. Do people know you in such a way that they look at you and say, man, I want what he has. I want what she has. Again, 2 Corinthians 4:15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. It matters what people think about us. Because what people think about you is what they know about you. I'm not saying that we live boxed up in people's opinions. Can I just tell you something? I've struggled with that this week, right? People have opinions, and we go at it, and we have to back and forth and this and that, and it's almost like you're trying to defend, you know, what you believe and what you say, all these things. Listen, all I'm trying to say is this. I'm not trying to say you box yourself up in that, but what I am trying to say is that you let your walk do the talking. We live according to the will of God. Paul first gave thanks for the saints because of how they were known. Could Paul give thanks for us? There's two things today. First off, how are you known? What do people see when they see you live? When they see you out and about, what are you preaching Christ or are you preaching hypocrisy? Number two, are you thankful for your church family? Not only that, when was the last time you showed it? I have found that Paul wrote a letter of thanks to him. But in that letter, he also tells him that, man, I long to see you. I just want to be with you. You know, when he got there at the very end of Acts, he died shortly after, was martyred for his faith. But he longed to see him. Can I tell you, we don't have to write each other letters. We don't even have to text each other. As a matter of fact, this morning, we don't even have to call each other because we're here now. You say, uh-oh, here's the application. You're sure right. When is the last time that you thanked a brother or sister in Christ for their faith? not the disagreements that you've had, not the spats that you've had, not the whatever. Let's cancel all that right here, right now, and let's just give thanks. When's the last time you thanked someone that worked the nursery? When's the last time you thanked? I told you last week. I didn't tell you last week. I'm sorry. I told in the middle of the week. Man, I got here last week, and man, I was passing Richard Dillon. And man, he is here. He's not here now. He had to go home, and he's fine, but he had to go home. And man, he's here early. He's like the second person here after me. That's pretty early, right? Especially when you get here at 10:35. But anyway, so he's here all the time, man. You know what he does? Hey, he turns on the heat, or he turns on the air. He turns the lights on. He unlocks the doors. He makes sure everything's how it should be. Why? So we can freely and comfortably worship Jesus. Man, I was passing him, and God stopped me. And now I'm not a mushy-gushy guy. I told you, I'm working on being gentle. Man, I stopped, and I said, man, Richard, I just want you to know that I love you, and I thank you for always being here. When's the last time, church? I bet you can tell me the last time you gossiped about somebody here. I bet you can tell me the last time you said something that wasn't so nice about someone here, or talked about why they did this or why they did that, why they didn't do that. Listen, hey, I get it. But this morning, let's give thanks for each other. How are you known, church?